Have you been looking to learn about what a career in marketing looks like? Are you interested in hearing more about navigating company environments and gaining valuable skills? If so, then this episode is for you. We had the opportunity to speak with current marketing professional Amy Frampton to hear about these topics and her career journey specifically, from working with the U.S. House of Representatives and Microsoft to her current role as Chief Marketing Officer for NoFraud. She also provides listeners with advice all aspiring marketers should hear. My name is Riley.
And I'm Athena.
And welcome to Hey You.
Before we get into more detail on Amy and her experiences in the marketing world, this CMO gives us a little background on her journey so far.
I'm Amy Frampton, and I graduated several years ago from the University of Utah. I was a political science and history major. I was at the Hinckley Institute and worked in politics for about 6 years and then moved into marketing communications, which I've been doing for, 20 years now. So moved back to Utah about 3 years ago, and I'm the chief marketing officer of a company called NoFraud.
As explained, marketing was not where her career began. Her education, internships, and wide array of job titles had led her to marketing in a unique way. She shares how these seemingly different fields can intersect with one another.
What I loved about poli sci and history is the learning about how people connect and how trends and issues can influence a society. And so, you know, I think after I'd worked on the House of Representatives, worked in the U.S. Senate, which were great opportunities to me, given to me really by the Hinckley Institute and internships that I had there and follow-on jobs, I went to a communications agency. And it's marketing communications is in some ways the same as politics in that you're trying to connect with people and understand what makes them tick and hopefully help them understand why they should consider whatever it is you're offering. Now, that could be a political view or it could be software, but the connection's the same. And so I loved that. I was at that Marcom agency for about 5 years and then was hired into Microsoft from that agency. They were a client of ours. What has made me stick with it? I think it's that connection. Like, I love thinking about how is this going to connect and help a customer, a prospect. And then I love working with marketing teams. I think we're the most fun teams at any company. And so some of the creative process, connection, that all is really inspiring to me.
Amy has worked in both big and small companies throughout her career. While some may think there are a lot of differences between the two, she shares that they actually have many commonalities and both sizes of companies have positive aspects to them.
Yeah, they're super different in some ways and exactly the same thing in so many as well. And as people think about what they want to do, you know, whether they want to, when they graduate, they want to go work for a big company. And I was talking to someone the other day who, up at the engineering school who was saying, oh, I really want to work for Dell or HP. Like that was their thing. And that's great. You learn a lot. I think I've worked at Microsoft, Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, and then some mid-sized companies, Bamboo HR here in Utah on the Silicon Slopes, Smartsheet, and now I'm at a company that's just 100 folks. And I think the key is if you want a structure around you that has kind of operationalized a lot of what you're doing, then a bigger company is going to be better. If you're okay with a little bit more running with scissors and kind of building it as you go, you know, a startup is maybe okay. And there's risks and rewards for both. And I think both are super fun. Like, I'm just a big believer that, you know, if I could say anything to my younger self is, you're going to have a lot of fun in your career and you're going to get to try a lot of things, and don't worry so much about picking the exact right thing first. Like, you can go to a big company and then you can go to a small company or vice versa. And so, I mean, I worked for the U.S. House, then I went to an agency, and then I went to Microsoft, and you learn something at all of them. And so, you know, in big companies, I remember a lot of leadership saying to us, like at Microsoft, our leaders would say, we're building the plane while we're flying it, or we're flying it while we're building it. People say that all the time in business at all sizes. But at Microsoft, you're not really building the plane while you're flying it, right? You're in a plane that has been built and is gorgeous, and then you are deciding what movie to put on the screen, right? And that is super fun. And I felt like I was a builder and a creator at Microsoft for sure, but it was within the structure. In a medium-sized company, there is, you know, maybe it's a prop plane. You know, there's some structure and people, there are people in every role, but there's a lot more building. And then at a startup, there's a lot of like, okay, so let's figure out how to do this, you know, and that's where I am now. And I chose that for a reason because I think that's really fun.
If you are just starting out with marketing and are interested in developing skills that will move you forward in that field, Amy helps listeners understand what modern day marketers are looking for in a candidate and what fundamental knowledge will help you succeed in marketing.
There's a ton of strategic frameworks out there. And you can Google, and or since I was at Microsoft for 10 years, I should say you can Bing. Does anybody Bing anymore? I don't think so. Even I don't. But, you know, you can Google marketing strategic framework or planning framework, and there are all these frameworks out there, and there's a lot of value in all of them. But in terms of skills for marketers that I think I've developed, hopefully, and that I look to hire, I look for people that want to build and create and have impact. And I think understanding how you like to have impact as a human at work is a really important skill to know. There are things that where I feel like I can have a great impact, and then there are things where I think I don't add any value here. And that's okay. Like, you should know where your impact is. And then there's just skills that everybody in marketing needs. You gotta be able to write. I mean, a marketer that cannot write or communicate verbally is gonna be in a really hard spot, because all of what you're trying to do is message, and that's either going to be written or visual or verbal. And if you have a hard time with that communication, not only will you have a hard time inside a company, but also outside. So learning to write, critical thinking, and these aren't necessarily just marketing only skills, but when I look to hire someone, you know, people say, do you hire on potential or do you hire on experience? And it's a balance, of course, depending on the job. But if someone can write well, communicate well, and wants to have an impact, that to me, those are three things that you need to be really, really grounded in. And then I think also you just want to be excited by the industry. You know, you find yourself, you want to watch, although I don't do advertising, isn't my forte necessarily, like old school commercial advertising. But, you know, like, I like to watch the ads. I like to, you know, think about what were they trying to do there. Having some of that critical thinking so that you can then apply it also is really, really important. And if you can do those things and you can understand data, you can do almost any job in marketing, because you can do product marketing because you learn about the product and you know how to talk about it. You can do SEO or digital marketing, demand gen growth as it's often called, and you can put programs into place because you're understanding the data and the communications. Those base skills can get you, you know, PR, all of the things. Back to your question about big companies versus small, both of them can give you great opportunities to work in lots of areas. But I would not, if I was doing this over again, I would not just pick one area to work in. I feel really lucky that I've done everything from running big trade shows to writing messaging and positioning documents. And all of it helps the other get better. You don't have to be one kind of marketer. You don't need to be an organic search marketer, a content marketer. You can, those skills will take you across all of it. And having those experiences then, of course, help you progress in your career.
Alongside the prestigious title of CMO, Amy is tasked with great responsibility. She explained that while her day-to-day schedule is quite unpredictable, there is one thing she is sure to experience each shift, and that is Zoom meetings.
While these meetings have their own set of pros for remote and hybrid workers, she does say that the context switching and lack of human connection is difficult at times. Besides navigating the remote working environment, one significant thing Amy has learned is how to make decisions with little context or background information.
The hardest part is the context switching. And I think as you, I had a leader tell me once, a mentor, when I got promoted into an executive level job, he said, the hardest part about being an executive, quote unquote, is you have to make bigger decisions with less information. Like, the funnel turns. When you're doing one thing for a company, whether it be big or small, you know everything about, hopefully, what you're doing, or a lot, and then you're making those decisions individually. As you move, you know, kind of up into other roles where you're overseeing teams and you're thinking bigger picture, maybe not as much of an individual contributor, you're making decisions faster with less information. And so between that and the context switching that happens on Zoom, like, you used to be able to go to a meeting and you'd walk down the hall, you'd fill your water bottle, you'd say hi to someone, you go to another meeting. Now you literally click, click, you know, and you've gone from talking about how do we want to track, I was just on a call about, how do we want to track sales interaction and verbiage using a tool we have called Gong. And you can go in and say, you know, how many of our prospects are talking about this issue? And what do we want to track? So that's very specific. And then we can go in and say, okay, what's our rebrand going to look like? And what do we want to name the company moving forward? And big, big, big topics, right? And so there's just a lot. You have to be comfortable starting to make decisions based on a lot of gut and experience and faith that you can figure it out no matter what you decide. little bit of hope and a little bit of jumping right in.
Some may be wondering, how do you even land a role like chief marketing officer? Where do you even begin to work your way up to that point? Amy explained that it all boils down to your own personal variety of learning experiences and how they shape you and guide you to where you're meant to be next.
Every opportunity you encounter will teach you something and will serve as building blocks for the next position that comes your way. So it's important to take advantage of each step as it comes instead of worrying about the end goal, like a title of a CMO.
I think you have to understand that a career is as much about learning as it is anything else. And so if you're taking opportunities where you can work with great people, have an impact, and learn, you kind of start to develop across the board on having a variety of skills. And there are lots of people that do, I think, less now, but do one thing in their career in marketing in particular, and certainly rise up the ranks. But the most successful, you know, CMOs, COOs, whatever it is that you want, that I've seen, have done a variety of experiences, and they've used them as learning platforms. So, like I said, you know, everything from you know, when I'm talking to my event team, I've run events. You know, that's not it at all, but having a variety of experiences and learning from a variety of mentors helps you to speed up that progression, I think. And then I took a role that really made a difference to me in my career, which is a chief of staff. And a chief of staff role, they don't have them at all companies. Microsoft, they call them either business managers or chief of staff, and they're meant to be kind of a career accelerator role. You get to kind of sit in with the executive team. I did mine at Hewlett Packard Enterprise for a former Microsoft exec at an OpenStack team. And what's great about that sort of role, and again, it's about the learning, is you're managing, you're not only working with marketers, but you're working with the product team, you're working with the finance team. They're coming at you and asking you why something was spent, if it was justified, what's the ROI. You're talking to HR, you're prepping executive comms, you're writing speeches, you're doing, like, you're working across the business in the end. And the ability to understand across the business then helps you as you become a leader in one portion of the business. You know, a department, marketing, we don't do it all, but we certainly work with all of those teams. And so that really helped me gain, like, move upwards, and not upwards leveling wise, but upwards vision wise. Like, oh, it takes all these things to run. It's not about my one program or my one marketing campaign I want to run. It's about that and these 400 other things. And then you also get mentored in roles like that. So what I would suggest is, if someone wants to, you know, I'm mentoring someone who wants to be a CMO, for instance, right now, take as many roles as you can and learn as much as you can. And it sounds simplistic, but don't get so focused on the upward movement. Get focused on the learning. Because when you can see the business end to end, then you become more valuable within your department.
We have all heard the phrase work-life balance, and it is a particularly hot topic in the business world today. When chatting with Amy, we wanted to get her insight on how she feels about the term work-life balance and how she herself manages to prioritize productivity and play in her own life. Not only did she elaborate on her own experiences, but she summed this idea up in a great term known as work-life integration. She emphasizes the importance of being present in both your personal and professional life and to understand what work-life integration means for you as an individual.
Everyone wants work-life balance, whatever that's supposed to mean, right? I've heard it called work-life integration, which I actually like better. But none of us want to only work. We all want to have a life. I do think that your generation, like the people listening to this, have a higher expectation of what that life part of the balance is than when I started my career. When I started my career, people didn't really talk about that. It wasn't a thing. And I mean, I don't think it's this way anymore at Microsoft, but man, we worked all the time, right? And so I guess I'll answer this in two ways. As I've worked with teams, you know, and you end up with a team of 100 people of all generations, they just have different expectations. And so I think it's important to know what your expectations are of work-life balance and talk about that openly with your manager or your peers or your leader, and know that yes, you want to have a life outside of work, and that balance is really important to be a whole person. And when you're at work, you need to have the impact you want to have. And so for me, what I try to do is say, okay, it's about being present and about being where you are. And so if you're working, like, kill it, you know, and that matters a lot, and be passionate and give it what you've got, and then find a way to turn off. And for me, you know, and for my family, there's a lot of things we love to do in the community, and we love sports, go Utes. And so we do a lot of that sort of stuff, and that helps kind of balance it out. I also think, you know, exercising every day, like there's some just basic sleep, those focusing on those things, and I focus on those things more now that I'm older. I should have done it when I was younger. That helps you balance. Because if you've gotten your rest and you've gotten your run in and you've not eaten crap, then you have the ability to focus on work at work and put it away at home. It's okay if things flow together as long as you're having that piece of you that's separate. You know, I work on the weekends sometimes. You know, that's okay. Because I sit down, I do it, I try to hit what I need to hit, and then I go back. So I like integration as a word, but man, I don't know that any of us have totally figured it out. I got that from Cassie Whitlock at Bamboo HR, to give full credit, because it's true. I mean, not everything's, like, you're not always going to be done at 4:59, but then sometimes you might, in the middle of the day, go do a fun podcast with your university, and you know what I mean? Like, all of those things, you have to find a way to kind of integrate. Yeah, I don't know how else to say it. So shout out to Cassie. She's awesome.
Amy also dove into her personal experiences as a woman in her field of work, as well as her connections to the Women in Tech Council, which helps encourage the young future females of the business world. She reminds us that this conversation is not just about women or those who are female presenting, but it is also about humans in general and uplifting everyone around you, regardless of gender or other circumstances.
I've been in tech marketing for 25 years, and things have really changed. I do think it really matters where you are, what you experience. And so, for instance, at Microsoft, I never thought about gender. Like, everyone is treated exactly the same. Like, I literally just never thought about it. Like, I would see people saying, like, pay equity, and I got that it was real. It wasn't that I didn't get that it was real. But they're really good. And they've taken some, I think, unfair hits in past years. But they're, like, it just doesn't freaking matter, you know? And then I know friends, or I've had other experiences where it matters a lot. And you start to see, you know, a lack of representation. You start to see, you know, maybe a little bit of women not speaking up as much in the room. What I had to learn to do for myself, which anyone who knows me is going to laugh, but this is true, I swear, because I talk all the time. But I had to learn to be willing to be wrong in a room. And I do think that that's sometimes hard for humans. I think it's sometimes hard for women. And what I saw driving success in counterparts, male counterparts, but also women that were good at this, was their willingness to speak up and give an opinion. Because I was finding that I wasn't willing to do that. And this is, you know, this is 15, 20 years ago. But I think it in my head, you know what we should do? And then a guy across the room would say, you know what we should do? And everyone would go, yeah. I'd be like, ah, oh, I wanted to say that, you know? And so I think, first of all, it really does matter where you are. And I think work environments are evolving really rapidly in a positive way for everyone, whether it's, you know, a gender issue or other issues where people don't feel seen and heard. So I do think it's getting a lot better. I mean, man, is it so much better than 20 years ago? Oh yeah, for sure. I do feel really lucky to have worked at places like Microsoft and others where it wasn't as big a deal. I did work at a place, this is years ago, and I'm not going to say where, but anytime my team who reported to me would CC me, they assumed I was the admin. And they would, not my team, but people who didn't know me. And they would say, great, Amy, can you set us up time? Thinking I was their admin. And so I started writing back. I had a cut and paste that would say, my team sets up their own time. If you want time with me, this is my admin's name. Never got a response to that. So there's certainly, you know, there certainly has been some of that quirkiness in my career, but I think people are getting a lot better at it. And I think as humans, and I don't think this is a women can help women sort of thing. I think this is humans as humans can help each other by making sure that they're building teams, building leadership teams, building boards that represent not only the people that work for their company, but their customers.
Amy has accomplished great things in her career, but that doesn't mean she has gotten everything right every single time. She has faced some setbacks, which are actually very common and can be used as experiences to put us back on the right track.
Not to quote Taylor Swift, but I mean, I do have tickets. You know, she talked about failing and that the ability to fail is what got her here. It sounds funny coming from someone like her because, like, she's so amazingly famous. But it's absolutely true. And I was glad she said it because when she says that, it's really like 12 and 13 year old girls that are listening and saying, oh, you know. And when you think about the first part of your career, and earlier I mentioned, you don't have to pick the perfect job every time. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. And I want to do this one thing. I'm going to go do this one thing. Like, that's just not the way life rolls. And so, yeah, I've had bosses that drove me crazy and that I probably drove them crazy. I once took a job that I thought was going to be amazing, and I found out there were some ethics issues. It's not on my resume, so don't look it up. And I had to then kind of roll back from that because for me, for what I wanted, it wasn't the right thing. And that's very defeating. You take something new and you think, gosh, this is going to be the thing, you know, and then it's not. Or you disappoint a coworker, or you run a marketing campaign that fails, or, you know, you get up in front of people and you bomb. Like, that is for sure going to happen to everyone listening to this podcast and everyone not listening to this podcast and me today. And so it's just good to know, like, you start over, like, the minute it's over. And that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. You maybe don't need a minute, you know, to it doesn't mean it doesn't affect you because that's just not real. But everybody fails. And, you know, just keep swimming.
If you have some big goals set for yourself as an undergrad and are aspiring to be a chief marketing officer one day, Amy has some words of wisdom that you should hear. She emphasizes the importance of taking your career step by step and not setting your sights on just one title. You'll be able to get the title eventually, but the experiences you have along the way are equally as important.
I would say, first of all, if you're an undergrad, don't aspire to be a chief marketing officer at this point. It's almost not comprehensible. Any job like that, right? Like, what I would say is develop your skills, learn how to work with people really, really well. Like, EQ is so important in every job, every leadership job, every individual job. Think about where you can go and have an impact and learn and take the next step. And don't worry too much about being a CMO or being a whatever. That stuff comes with learning. and with impact. And if you go into a place and you want to have a big impact, and you do, the opportunities will come.
Now, we wanted to get Amy's opinion on a current hot topic in the marketing world, ChatGPT. Many believe that this AI platform may take away from the role of marketers, but Amy doesn't think that that's the case.
I think AI is amazing. Bamboo HR has an amazing data and AI leader building some really cool stuff. So it's not an anti-AI or anti-chat or anti any of that. But I don't think they're ever going to be as good as us for many reasons, our humanity being the main one. And I also think there are problems that it can solve and problems that it can't, and problems that it can't solve long term. So we were just discussing for SEO on sites, I was discussing with a bunch of marketers, do you use that service, right? Use chat. And, you know, do you write your blogs using this, right? Okay, well, there's some goodness, right? Super fast, super cheap, way cheaper than a human. You get the right amount of words. On the downside, it's not going to have your brand and tone. It's not going to speak from the voice that you care about and that connection we talked about earlier. And it's working from an outdated database. Although it can learn so much, as humans, we're evolving and learning in ways and in nuance that it doesn't have. And if you try to cheat the system and get all your SEO through something like that, Google will find out and Google will de-level you in the system. Like, they're never gonna not do that. Like, there's just no way, right? And so, you know, I think it's a great tool for some things as long as you keep the human piece.
So we would like to thank Amy for being on the podcast today. We really enjoyed hearing what she had to say, especially as marketing majors ourselves. So for me personally, I'd say the most insightful thing that she had to say that really resonated with me was when she talked about not really being focused on having a niche, especially as a marketing major. So I think we go to class and, you know, we work and a lot of people say, what's your specialty? Like, what are you really good at? What differentiates you from other people? And of course, that's really good to have, but it was really refreshing to hear the take of, you know, try all different things. It's okay to be pulled in a lot of different directions and be good at different skills, maybe not a master at one, and using that to your advantage. So I think going forward, it definitely helped me because I am really interested personally in different things and that will help me.
I really liked hearing that as well. Something that stood out to me was her talk about failure, especially coming from someone who is in such a great position and has held a lot of good positions. It was nice to hear from her specifically that failures happen and setbacks happen, but you can dust yourself off and get back up and try again, and you can be led down a better path.
If you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to give us a like, a follow, and share the episode with your friends. Once again, I'm Riley.
And I'm Athena.
And this has been
Hey You.